I'm Trudy Kerr, and welcome to The Interviewer. In this series, I talk to artists, campaigners, men and women of influence, musicians, performers, sportsmen and women, politicians, businessmen and women, and anyone who shapes the fabric of our society. Today's guest simply has the most remarkable story. In her own words, towards the end of 2019, I decided to buy some plants to decorate my home with, as it was looking really bare. I brought home 6 plants and thought I'd better look up how to keep these guys or I'll have wasted my money. And so, Shelley Caruana started researching plants and turned what would normally be a normal household chore into a passion, into a social media success story with over 165,000 followers, into a business venture with Shelley's Indoor Jungle website. This extraordinary story is just part of Shelley's journey, and we're going to be looking at plants and personalities over the course of the next half an hour. Shelley, thank you so much for being on the show on Empowered With Me.
Thank you so much for that sweet introduction, Trudy. I'm really, really honored to be here.
It's really cool to have you. I was honestly lost to know where to start, as your story really does raise so many questions. But let's start at the beginning. Did you really just go and buy 6 plants?
I promise, it was just 6 plants. I think we didn't even consider getting 6. We were going to get less, potentially.
Yourself.
Yes, Sean's my husband. We do all the decisions together when it comes to house decor and things like that. He loves to be involved. So basically, the house was just very bare. We barely had any furniture. You know, we had just started off. Everywhere was white because we were being concerned at first with the colors and everything. So I was just like, come on, let's just get a few plants. So we got 6 big plants, and big plants tend to be a bit expensive. So he was like, it's really your responsibility to take care of them, please. It was like 200 euros. He's like, please make sure you take care of them.
What did you buy? What were these plants?
They were just normal plants, like snake plants, you know, they were just really normal plants. But since he put that kind of pressure on me, and he's like, you know, your responsibility, you want them, you need to make sure they're still alive. Obviously money is tight when you just start off. And I one of my traits is when I do something, I will commit fully. I will like go big or go home with me. So I was just researching and I fell into a rabbit hole. There are so many plants and so many different ones and so many that you can collect. Nowadays, when he complains about soil and all these things, I just tell him, so it was your fault. You know, my trick, my character.
But Shelley, you say there's, it's your trait and it's like falling down a rabbit hole. But there's a big difference between going and buying 6 plants and finding out about plants and making an entire life out of it. I mean, that's not just a rabbit hole. That's a whole quarry.
And you'd be surprised how many people have the same the same hobby. You'd be surprised. There was such a, like, I decided to open an Instagram account just so that I keep myself motivated, right? I post a photo today and I see in a few months time how the plant changed. That was literally the only reason I created the Instagram account. And suddenly you realize there's a whole community of people with the same, they collect plants. They're so obsessed with plants like I am. And it was impressive, and it's such a sweet community of people as well. It's just a very helpful community.
Well, my question to you is, genuinely, you knew nothing about plants before?
Nothing. I promise, nothing, zero. It was really weird, the sudden switch of how I suddenly got into plants. I don't understand how it happened, but I think once it can happen with anything, really. Once you kind of commit and say, you know, I'm gonna really, really focus on this. Could be cooking. It could be, I don't know, whatever, art. It's happened with plants to me. Well,
yes, but you have to agree with me. There's commitment, and then there's Shelley's in your jungle.
Yes,
because your first post was on the 1st of December, 2019, and it was a picture of a prayer plant.
Yes, okay.
And the post got 136 likes. So this is your first post on Instagram on this account. Mm-hmm. So you've already got quite a good response from that. So you must have been like, oh, wow.
Yes, I'm telling you, it's incredible and what a community
there
is.
It only had one hashtag as well. And you reference Miranda. Oh, I've done my research. And you reference Miranda in a post and hashtag Shelley's_Miranda. Fast forwarding today, you're posting about your daily food intake, your different outfits that you're wearing, you in Camino, and of course, along with pictures of the plant. So let's talk about the rise of this social media queen, which you are, how this happens practically and the emotional journey. First of all, though, I want to find out, who's Miranda?
It's one of my plants. So I named all my plants.
Oh, my word.
Yes. I'm telling you, if I commit to something, I commit. So my friends once described it as hyper-fixating. And it's true. It's like that with me with a lot of things, which can be both a gift and a curse. Because sometimes when I commit to something a little too hard, I shut off from the world a bit. So yes, there is a rise to social media, but it also, if you don't check yourself,
We're going to explore that in a few minutes. So once we've talked about how you got there, we're going to find out all of the other sides of this topic as well. But let's talk about the practicality of, I didn't realize Miranda was the name of the plant. How does this happen? You have one post, 136 likes. So how do you take 136 likes in the space of 3 years to 167,000 followers? How did that happen?
I think I just figured out a formula that people, there are a lot of plant accounts out there, first of all, loads. So I was thinking, how can I stand out? Like if I'm just randomly posting photos of my plants, but how can I stand out and how can it be different? And if I'm sharing this journey of my plants growing, how will people remember which ones are my plants versus the other thousands of plants? So I named all my plants and I gave them hashtags so people can click on the hashtag and see their journey, like see how they've grown. Every time I post them, like if you click on the hashtag, you see the past photos.
Say Miranda has a whole bunch of photos.
I mean, Miranda died now, but...
Shelley, you killed Miranda.
I still kill plants, yes. I still kill plants.
But this is
it's
Miranda.
Normal. It's part of the process.
This is Miranda.
But I remember who she is. Even though I've probably owned over 200 or 300 plants now with the ones that I've killed, I still remember each and every single one of them.
So you think that your success is literally based on you hashtagging and naming each of those plants?
Definitely. People, like I've had people, like I've actually sent, once I've sent a leaf of one of my plants to America to someone who wanted it framed, because people love, like I've had plants that, for example, would get pests and I would document the journey of me trying to fix it and trying to save it. And people would develop, they would develop a relationship with that plant. Like they would want to know how it's been growing and how it's been doing. And people will randomly, like sometimes message me like, how's Peppu doing? It's the plant that would have died. Like they would still, like,
so what do you say when someone asks how Peppu's doing?
I say it died. I say the truth. I'm not perfect. And I think it's normal. It's okay to normalize, you know. There's the whole Instagram reality thing as well, you know, how everyone always posts like the good stuff. That was another thing that helped, because I always posted as well. I was real. I posted when I had pests. I posted when I killed plants. I posted when I had issues with plants. I posted when I neglected plants. And I think that makes people relate more somehow.
I think very much so. And you just touched on something about social media, about us being real. And I follow a number of influencers with hundreds of thousands of followers like yourself, who make a point of being real. And this is very refreshing. In your instance, you're just being very real about the fact that sometimes you kill plants. You kill Miranda.
Yes.
R.I.P. Miranda.
I'm so sorry, Miranda.
I'm shocked to hear this. Well, this is an incredible strategy. And coming back to what you were just saying a second ago, because I was going to ask you about your emotional journey, because one thing I did notice is that your frequency of posting and your frequency of communication is extremely high. Now, we're going to talk about in a second about how that impacts on the rest of your life and how you make time for that. But just touching on what you just mentioned there about you get as a person can become quite fixated. Is that then respectfully part of your success, that you've poured yourself into this relationship with your Instagram account and you've taken it right to a high, high level and you've seen the results, but at the same time, you're fixated. This is part mm-hmm. of your nature.
Yes, it's definitely, I think it is part of my success, because for almost 2 years, I was posting twice daily, plus a lot of stories and content creation, like finding the right lighting, the right setup, everything. It takes time. I had a diary with like 4 weeks of posts twice a day planned in advance. And it can cause you to burn out. It can, you know, it's tiring when all you're thinking of is one thing, but the high you get from social media, it's so addictive.
Yeah.
And
it's that dopamine kick. It's yeah. that seeing that a post has got, well, in my case, a couple of hundred likes. In your case, thousands and thousands.
Yes, it's incredible. There was a time where I used to get over 1,000 followers a day, and it was crazy. It was.
But this is just from the hashtag
crazy.
In your story.
Uh-huh.
And the frequency of
sharing,
posting.
Because I would share, like, you know, really. How informative posts, so people share them, that sort of time lapses, which are really cool. Again, you have to film them for like 2 weeks
yeah.
with the light on.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's.
But would you say also your timing was very fortuitous? You came into this right before COVID.
Cool. Yep.
You're doing your learning, you're building your profile right before everybody's locked down.
Yep.
And what are they doing? They're staying inside with plants.
Yep, definitely. That definitely helped as well. Definitely. People were inside. We saw a boom. I think even across the island, there was a huge boom of people buying plants. A few then, you know, increased their collection as well. Like, I get quite a few people telling me that thanks to following me, they now understand how to take care of plants. Others just tried and they gave up, which is
and they
fine,
killed Miranda.
Yes, and they killed. But definitely, throughout COVID, there was definitely a boom. I've noticed that.
Well, you mentioned there about timing and how much time being an influencer, particularly at your level, how much time that takes. And I remember having a guest on the show, talking to her about, as an influencer, talking to her about, Karen Duffy, talking about her commitment to her followers. And in respect to Karen, her followers don't come anywhere near yours. In fact, I don't think I've interviewed anybody whose followers come anywhere near yours or who has such a strange relationship with plants. But she said that when she went on holiday to Greece, she had to pre-plan where she was taking photographs and what she was going to be wearing. Now, this to me sounds like a lot of hard work. And my question is on a practical level, and we'll come back to the emotional again. If you have work, if you have a full-time job, if you have a husband, if you have a home, if you have friends and family, how on earth do you manage to fit in this commitment? Is it not just all-consuming?
It was very consuming, and obviously it does create a strain on the relationship. We were, again, I was lucky with COVID in a sense because we were indoors, so I had the time to do it. But very recently, I felt like I was quite burnt out. And in fact, I had stopped posting for quite a while, actually. I took a slight break at the beginning. I think earlier on this year, I can't even remember. I decided to take a slight break, take a step back, because I wasn't even enjoying it anymore. And I wouldn't say I was enjoying it during almost as well. It was just the high of all the... of social media, really. And finally I took that step, I took a break, and you know, I rediscovered my old hobbies. I'm spending more time with family and friends. And Sean's always saying like, oh, so much better now that you're not constantly stuck to your phone. And now I'm just trying to post, like, I don't really plan from before. I just kind of want, I just try to post what I want to post. And, I am trying to make a bit more of an impact as well. I recognize that I do have quite a large platform. Apart from, you know, my hobby with plants, I have other hobbies, and I consider myself to be a person who, I don't know, I want to be impactful, and I want to make a difference. And I have such a big platform, so, you know, it's such a good opportunity.
It's a responsibility as well.
I'm still trying to find my footing as well, and try to understand what I want to do and how I want to share, you know, my story and how I improved in certain things, and be it in battling anxiety or other things. So I'm still trying to figure out my footing, and because I think it's a waste to have such a large platform and you're not doing something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But from a practical point of view, you know, you have recently been posting, you asked, does everybody want to know what you eat? And I saw that you laid out these lovely, beautiful photographs, by the way, but photographs of the food that you ate every day. Does that, bearing in mind your audience, does that sort of post get as much traction as something like you killing Miranda?
No, it doesn't. As well, since I took that break, it messes up the entire algorithm. And this is something that I think is so... It's so bad about social media, because you know you're going to mess up the algorithm, and people don't want to do that. So even if you're burnt out and you don't want to lose that connection with people, so you might think twice, three times, four times before taking that break. So even, you know, so even me taking that break, obviously engagement went down. But I made a promise to myself that I am not going to be obsessing over my likes and insights anymore. I hide my likes, you know, so now I just want to, I still get a lot of engagement. I still get people messaging me. I still get, you know, comments. And, you know, for me, as long as I'm kind of trying to, as long as somehow I'm making a difference and something for the better, I feel like it's a bit more meaningful. And if I'm hitting three people instead of 80, you know, it's fine if it's a bit more meaningful.
That's your decision. Now, you did mention, and I am very impressed, because you're the very first influencer that I've ever met that has mentioned the impact of that dopamine hit. And it's very real.
It's extremely
real. We do something, we get a success, we get a high.
Extremely.
And it is addictive. And I often wonder how influencers keep going, how they don't burn out, as you said. Did you become aware at one point that you were getting highs from your social media and that you were becoming somehow hooked on this?
I was aware all throughout. I was aware all throughout. And Sean, my husband, he's very involved. He used to tell me, like, you're spending way too much time on your phone constantly. You know, I used to even do like a child lock on my phone, so that Instagram, like, after, I don't know, for example, after 2 hours it shuts off. And I've used because it got bad. There were days in the beginning where I used to spend easily like 6 or 7 hours on Instagram. It was crazy, and I knew it was bad, but it's so addictive. It's crazy.
So when did that moment come that you decided, okay, I'm going to step away from Instagram, whether it messes up my algorithms or whether it doesn't, I'm just going to step away for a break?
I feel like it happened a bit, it was a bit gradual. Towards the end of last year, I started slowing down a bit. I was like, I think even the fact that COVID restrictions started to ease a little, I kind of, I don't know, started going out more, rediscovering new hobbies again. It kind of happened gradually. And then finally I was like, you know, I'm not going to plan any more posts for now. I'm just going to stop I don't even know when I stopped. It was just earlier this year. And this was so good for my mental health. It was so good. And now I'm just posting whatever I kind of feel like, and it makes a huge difference.
I want to bring it back, very sensitively bring it back to the time that you mentioned before, that you were really throwing yourself into your Instagram and your social media. And the reason I want to do that is because I think this influences so many people in our society today. I grew up before there was even websites, let alone social media. So I didn't have that as part of my childhood, mm-hmm. as part of my teens and my 20s. This was all coming around, you know, way when I was into an adult life. So coming back to anxiety and coming back to how much you'd poured yourself into making Shelley's Indoor Jungle a success, on from an anxiety mm-hmm. point of view, did it take the anxiety away, or did it just make it worse?
When I was creating content and thinking about creating content, I think it kept my mind busy. That's fine.
So it couldn't open the box?
No, it couldn't open the box. But when I would get anxious because a post didn't get as many likes as I thought or things like that, I think then the lines get a bit blurred, and because you're already strung up, I think then it's a bit easier for something to trigger you. So I think they are, it does affect your hypochondria if you're already strung up and stressed about something else, you know, that's kind of how.
Let's bring it back to you as an influencer. You are, and you're taking a journey outside of just plants, which is really exciting. You take a journey into Camino and food and what you wear to work and these sorts of things, which I think is very exciting. I'm going to ask you in a second about your mission for the future. But before we get there, you have 167,000 followers. We won't miss those 2,000 followers out. That's my whole social media engagement just gone out the window.
That's fine.
But I always assume that all engagement with followers is positive. Is it? Are all your followers positive?
No, but I would think they're more positive than most people's are. I do get the sometimes you have to be very careful about what you post on social media, be it about food, be it about religion. I try to be as politically correct as possible, but you still won't hit everyone. And people, there is this thing about social media which is so fascinating to me. People will try to find the littlest thing to make a comment on, to take them, like, to pretend that they're taking the moral high ground, which is really weird to me. Like, once I posted a photo of a plant and I said, these are the signs that you may have pests on your plant, for example. And someone posted and they were like, you have no idea what anxiety you're causing people, making them look at their plants and think that they're dying. And I'm like, I'm just trying to be informative. Like, stop trying to make this thing something that it isn't. So you do find those kind of, you know, keyboard warriors, what do you call them?
Keyboard warriors, yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Which they make no sense. Like, they're just trying to put you down and look like they're superior to you. That being said, if I do post something that is misinformed, or I am very careful about that, but if I do post something that's misinformed or anything like that, I will definitely take on that feedback. And sometimes you do get good feedback as well. So I don't know, but I try to be very careful. When there was the whole Black Lives Matter thing, I felt like I had to post. But I actually spoke to one of my followers who forms part of the Black community, and I asked her to help me write the post, because I don't have that perspective, so I wanted to make sure that what I'm saying is correct and right and relevant, not just, you know, your generic white person trying to pretend that they're, you know,
and jumping on the bandwagon. Yeah, I think exactly. There's quite often people on social media jump on the hashtag that is popular.
Exactly. I mean, if you don't, you're called out for it as well. It's like you're, you know, it's so. So, but I try to to, you know, be as informed as possible.
It would be very difficult, having met you, to see how you would be able to offend anybody, or how your plants would be able to offend anybody. And that's why I asked, because I know that with 167,000 followers, there's going to be somebody who has a rant about something.
And you get the random dick pics, and you get the...
Oh, wow, that's
nice. You get the horrible comments sometimes, and ugly, and all this. And you just learn to brush it off. you still get that, but overall, I have such a positive community. I feel very lucky in that.
Now, you took this onto a website, and you've taken this into a commercial entity. One of the things I do love about your social media feed, about your Instagram feed, is that rarely will you see something that is selling. You do this very, very subtly if you do. Or you'll keep it to your stories, but you do also have the website that, I mean, this must be an entity of its own. You really do have your hands full.
Yes.
What is the mission for the future?
In fact, whilst I have the website and it was, you know, something fun, and again, me inventing things to keep myself occupied, definitely, I mean, my mission, I wouldn't say the website is my mission or selling pots is my mission. I think what I want to focus on right now is I have a very big platform. What can I do to make a positive impact with it? That's what I'm trying to focus on. Because I don't know. I think that's what will make me feel a bit more fulfilled, really.
Still revolving around Miranda and her siblings, I assume.
Yes, still revolving around them. They will always be part of my life. They have to be. I have like 100 plants, you know. I can't just upend. But they're like a fraction of my life. I have a lot more to give, I think. That being said, I'm trying to figure out the ways of how to link, you know, how plants have helped me with my mental health. They really have. And there are a lot of studies that show that having plants or being surrounded by nature boosts your mental health. And it's just lovely, just waking up in the morning, seeing all the new leaves. Right now, spring is great. Repotting plants, touching the soil, it's fantastic. So,
Shelley of Shelley's Indoor Jungle, it has been absolutely fantastic to meet you. It's been fantastic to hear about your mission and hear about you as a person as well, and also your grounded perspective as somebody who has a platform of 167,000 followers. Thank you so much for being on Empowered.
Thank you very much for having me. It was an honor.
To listen to this edition of The Interviewer again, or other exciting interviews, head towards Spotify or SoundCloud and search for The Interviewer.